My brothers and sisters, God is so real. God is so real that He's allowed us to have this flesh and this soul to make Him look like so distant and unreal. But when we seek Him beyond this flesh and the soul, like the Bible has instructed us, there is nothing else in this world you will put above your relationship with God. Because He's so, so real. Briefly this morning, I want to make some declarations to you. And I want to share a few things before I make the declarations. That's why I'm praying that your eyes will open and your ears will open so that you'll receive an awakening by faith. Amen? As I stand here, I tremble. I cannot begin to tell you how blessed you are. I'm not saying that because I want to tickle your ears. I have given up that for over 20 years. I will never live to please people in church or to share as much as you can take. You sitting in this house, and I'm speaking that under the fear of the Lord, and I'm speaking that with great humility. You don't know how blessed you are. You are so blessed. And I've been praying for you that you will not lose what you have. You see, the Bible says that Moses knew the ways of God. But he said the children of Israel, they knew the hands of God, the acts of God. Why? How does Moses get to that place? One of the greatest opportunities any of us will ever have in life is to be under a ministry that understands to seek the ways of God. Because knowing the acts of God and not the ways of God, you will be blessed, but you don't really know Him. And you don't really have experience with Him. There is a price to pay to know the ways of God. And there is a place, as you pay this price, there's a place you find yourself. And in that place, when you find yourself, if you don't know God, if you don't really know this God we're talking about, if you don't know His ways, you will almost think God has forgotten you, or God is not who He says He is. I want to share with you this morning the place great men have found themselves. The place where some of you might not know it, you are there. You're experiencing it. But it's the place where God promotes people. It's the place where God chooses you. It's the place where God says you are chosen. It's the place where God appoints destinies. Because of the ways of God are so high from the ways of man, what human being sees, not what God sees. God is looking at something this way, and because his ways are high and his thoughts are so high, when we look at things this way, it's very different from the way God sees it. So, what we see and what we say because of what we see is different from what God sees and what God wants us to say about what he's doing in our lives and about who we are. There is a place in the Bible called valley. And there is a place called mountain. David says, though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, you can never get to the mountain until you go through the valley. The valley is where destinies are shaped and molded. And you have to walk by faith in the valley. The valley is equivalent to what the Bible also calls, in many ways, the wilderness experience. So I want to read something to you briefly, and I want to make a declaration to you that you are moving from your valley to your mountain. You are moving from your wilderness to your promise. Let's open our Bibles to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. I want you to please read with me so you can see this. It's a very familiar scripture. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And it caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, he started by saying, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit. Amen? So Ezekiel is in the spirit, but then here's what God says. God says, Son of man. So I want you to watch this. Son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. God says, prophesy. Upon these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Everybody say noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bones. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he to me, prophesy unto this, to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon the slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived. And they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dry, and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our paths. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of the grave and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of the graves, and shall put my spirit in you. You shall live. I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, I have spoken and performed it, says the Lord. This prophecy speaks very directly to the destiny of Israel and what they've gone through. But it's a prophetic spiritual parallel to our lives, to the church, and to destinies. I want you to pay attention as you hear this word. Don't think about anybody else but you. Don't think any other situation as God speaks to you but to you. God is big and high and great, and he's God. His ways are high. And we're here, human beings. God is talking to Israel, but I'm talking to us now. We're here. And as the children of men, we see what is natural, we feel what is natural, and we only speak what we see that is natural. And we place our hope, our life on what we see that is natural. And we place our limitation, everything based on what is natural, what we feel, what we see. And that's facts, and we cannot deny it, and it's reality. But here, God is not just natural. Everything about God is spiritual, and is a creator, is that God is everything, that he begins a work in the spirit, and he brings it to the natural. So the natural is not the final position. Everything in the natural is dictated by what is in the spirit. The natural is not never the final say. Every condition in the natural is subject to change based on what you are seeing in the spirit and what God is showing you. What you see in the spirit and what you speak in the spirit determines your natural situation. So that's why he says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the bridge between the natural and the spiritual. So, let me first of all use this story that I just read to you. God wanted to raise an army. God wanted to raise an army. And before time, God has already spoken about this army and about their land, Israel. He wanted to raise an army. He already sees an army way down years ahead of them. He already saw what the army will do. And he already commissioned that army even before the army were born. But a situation came in the natural. The children of Israel, their relationship with God was not very, very clear. They were not in where they need to be. So circumstances, situation, when I say their relationship is not where they need to be, God is wanting to bring them to where he is, to see what he sees and speak what God speaks. So to bring them there, God allowed Israel to get to their lowest point. And that's why it says God was speaking about the house of Israel. How low can a situation be? How bad can a circumstance get? How worst can a situation go? It can't go more than a dry bone. And what created this situation, this dryness, and what brought them, what scattered them, what put them in this situation, are situations in the valley. The valley sometimes is the place where we think it's all darkness, it's all the devil, it's all sickness, it's all bad situation. The valley is where we literally feel to the bones the things that we're going through. We literally feel the hopelessness of what the valley looks like. The valley is the place where it's like the shadow of death lives there. David says, though I go walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In other words, he was going through a situation where he felt all he sees around him is hopeless. It's like death. There is no, how can I? But he says, I'm going through. Circumstances, situation, obstacles, life situations can put you in a situation where you, without knowing it, you feel like you're in the valley. The valley is where you ask God, is God there? Is God, does God know? The valley is where, the Bible says, the children of Israel said, they have no hope. They have no future. They have nothing. There is just no way to see God working in this situation. Think about you. I'm talking about impossible situation that God has spoken to you was not part of the plan. But you find yourself in it. But God has a bigger plan for you. You're moving towards your destiny. You're moving towards promises. You're believing God for your miracle. You're believing God for great things. You're in school. You're in job. You've had visions. You have dreams. And all of a sudden, all these situations, this circumstance, all these things starts happening. And before you know it, like Joseph, like all these people, like David, they start running into caves. They start, Joseph started going to jail. All these children of Israel started lacking and going through a lot in the wilderness. So in this circumstance, they begin to question the reality of God. And what makes the valley a very difficult place? But that's where God chooses army. That's where God raises great people. What makes the valley very confusing and difficult is sometimes it takes long. That particular situation, that particular circumstance, that particular, you might be getting breakthrough here and there, but there are just situations that you just wonder, can God ever fix that? Does God have the ability to fix that? Can God change that? So, most people die. Their destiny are buried in the valley, in the wilderness. Like the children, they make up their mind, I'm just going to live a religious life because God can fix it. He can change it. I'm just going to be religious. So, the valley is where a lot of people give up on a higher call in their destiny. A lot of people give up. A lot of people compromise because it's a place where David says the shadow is a shadow of death. It's an uncomfortable place. How can I be a child of God and be going through this valley? How can I be an Israelite and be going through this valley? Why will I be living in caves? When you've called me to be a king. Children of Israel, what are we going to this wilderness for? What is this manna for? What is all these things for? When you told us you brought us out to give us a promised land. Why do I have to go through all this? Why do I have to suffer this? All these years, what's going on? That's what the valley looks like. That's what the wilderness looks like. And many people compromising there. But that's the place where destinies are shaped and molded. The first thing I want to say to you before we continue, I celebrate you, every one of you here. I celebrate you and I thank God for you. Because for you to be in this place, you've been going to the valley. You've gone to the valley. Let me tell you one picture about the valley. When you are in the valley, you are always comparing yourself to other people. David said, when he was in the valley at one time, he says, God, why must I keep myself so focused on you, so trying to keep myself clean? Look at all these people that are having fun and everything is going good for them. Everything is working out for them. That was the question. He says, I almost backslid. I almost left that place of the wilderness, that place of training, that place of the valley. He was looking at all these other things, glamorous and great things. Nothing wrong with churches and stuff. But you don't know what is on the inside. So God took Ezekiel in the spirit. He said, Ezekiel, I want to show you what I want to show you what I see, and I want to show you how I speak. So he took Ezekiel in the spirit and showed him an army. Everybody say an army. When he showed him the army, and he said, son of man, what are these? When Ezekiel looked as a human being, what did he see? God didn't see dry bones. God saw an army. But Ezekiel saw dry bones. And they were very dry in the valley when life situation has chastened you. Challenge your faith, dealt with you, and for time you start feeling so dry. Ezekiel said, these are dry bones. And God says, can they live? Do they have a future? Do they have a hope? Who are these people? Ezekiel didn't know. He said, God, you know. And God says, you're looking at a great army. So, Ezekiel, this is how I walk. The children of Israel say, we are dry, we are hopeless, there's no future, we are in graves, we are buried, our hope is gone in the valley. God says, no. Ezekiel, I want you to speak on my behalf. I want you to speak. I want you to call this army into existence. And I want you to start from the beginning and create an army with your words. Not your words, but my words through you. So Ezekiel started. First of all, he says, spoke to the bones. Prophecy is speaking what you see in the spirit. Prophecy is declaring what God is revealing to you by revelation. When you receive a revelation and you speak it, that's what Ezekiel was taught to do. You are by faith representing God, and God through you, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. There was nothing made that was made without the Word. And the Word still creates, the Word still manifests impossible things into the physical. So God is saying, I won't say this time, Ezekiel, you represent me, you speak it. Jesus says, you speak to the mountains. So Ezekiel took the word of the Lord and he said, he's seeing now, he says, okay, prophesy to the bones. First of all, he spoke to the bones were activated. These are scattered bones. You don't know whose it is. But the bones started locating themselves. If this was this Mr. Distinct bones, this, they were all scattered. The head was there. The legs were there. The bones, because they were all dry and scattered, they were beginning to find themselves and locate where they are. And these bones started joining together. The ones that were men started becoming men. The ones that were women started becoming women. And they started becoming who they were ordained to be. By seeing and speaking the word of God over a situation. As the bones came together, that's the first level. Ezekiel's faith went to the next level. If the bones can come together, then the sinews, the muscles can come. And the flesh, and then they started coming together. Sinews, muscles, ligaments come, muscles came, and he says, put flesh upon them. And Ezekiel put flesh. They stood up just like Adam in the garden, but no breath. And God just said, Ezekiel, call breath. Prophesy to the wind. And Ezekiel prophesied to the wind. And they became a living soul again. A mighty army. Let me read one scripture and then I will connect this to us before we pray. Please, I want you to look with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 says, comfort ye, my people, says the Lord. Speak you comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, meaning her sin has been forgiven. She's been pardoned. Her season of valley, her season of wilderness, her season of trial is come to an end. That her iniquity is now pardoned, for she had received of the Lord's hand double for her sins. Verse 3. Then, he says, this was about John the Baptist, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for what? Our God. Every valley shall be what? Exalted. And every mountain and hill shall be what? Made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough shall be made plain, and then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. There is a timing, an appointed time, like the students, you go to school. You don't graduate the first year. You don't graduate the second year. You go through what it takes to graduate at the fourth year. And when you graduate, you go through the process of being released with a diploma, and you're released because that appointed time is over. You can start another school, but there's a time you go through something, you overcome something, and then you move to the next stage. God was telling Israel in Isaiah 40, the time will come when God has seen their years in the valley, in the shadow of darkness. They've seen their trials, they've seen. He said the time will come when God will say, it's over. I pardon you, now I will make a way to reveal my glory in your midst. And you're going to come out of that valley, and those mountains that cast shadows over you, they will come down. And then you now become the mountain. And the glory of the Lord shall be seen, shall be revealed. My brothers and sisters, beginning that first month that we consecrated a fast, 7 days fast, I had a visitation. And because of too many years of the various ways God has taken us, I've just kept totally quiet. A few times I've encouraged us here and there. And I had another visitation. And after another season, I had another visitation. This season, one of the greatest things in my life happened. The greatest testing of my whole life. One of the greatest. I've gone through so many. And it's not something I would have shared with you, but since I've mentioned it, so you'll understand the degree of where we're going. I was 100% completely hopeful, completely prepared to travel to Nigeria for my mom's burial. Now, my relationship with my mom, if God were to test me on anything, that would have been it. It was like Abraham and Isaac. I have prayed, I've fasted, I've done everything to close my ears to nothing but the way to Nigeria must be clear. And I knew the experience I was having since we started fasting. But I felt that wouldn't stop anything. What will it take to just fly and come back really quickly? But I never understood what was happening in the spirit. I never knew the level to which God is visiting Mount Zion. I never knew that the day will come, the time will come when God will start telling me the years of waiting, the years of trial, you're coming out of that season. Because I was getting tired of hoping for those things. Like Abraham laid Isaac, God says, I must lay down going to my mom's funeral. It was so painful, it was so heavy for me, I had to go away and shut myself in prayer. Everybody in Nigeria was looking for me. Families from everywhere were looking to see me. That's the last thing I could do to honor my mom. God says, like Abraham, you will not understand now, but put your mom on the altar. Let the dead bury the dead. I paid enough price, 28 years of living in levels of valley. But as the Lord was doing this, I shut myself away. I said, okay, if I'm not going, then I'm not going to come out. I'm just going to stay hidden here and seek your face and wait. I can't share everything with you, but the Lord opened my eyes. The Bible says the year King Uzziah died, I saw the glory of the Lord. I knew my mom don't have any problem because he's in heaven and he understands where I am. But a lot of people in Nigeria was hearing these voices. Why is he not here? For me personally, God is already giving me peace. But I was this whole pressure. And of course, I wanted to see families. But as soon as I obeyed, the Lord started showing me something. The best way I can describe it is like a pregnant woman in the hospital that is giving birth or something. The head of the child is already out. And the woman knows the child is out and she's pushing, but the rest of the body is not out. In that condition, is there any way you can tell that woman to come out of the hospital because one of the child is having a problem or they are just... Name the problem out there that will cause that woman to leave the delivery bed and go. It might not make sense to you what I just said, but in the spirit, I saw a change of government. I saw a change of government. Your mom is dead. How about exchange going to see her dead body? For seeing other people come to life. For seeing sick people get up. Seeing dead people raise. Seeing the lame walk. Seeing the blind. Your eyes open. How about we do an exchange? The Lord showed me a change of government that has shifted. I didn't understand why God kept saying, you're going from Saul to David, you're going from wilderness to the promise. But it started making sense. It says, the government has shifted. You don't see it in the physical. But you've been pregnant for so many years with so many people here. And that which you've been pregnant about, you're giving birth to it now. Will you let it be aborted? You have seen the head. I know exactly what he's saying. I have seen something that I've been keeping quiet because I wanted to see the whole thing before I speak. He says, you know what you're seeing. In the spirit, if you move from this place of birthing, it affects everything. What you have been waiting for all your life, this is a test for you. Of course, when God opens your eyes, it's easy to obey the Lord. And the Lord started showing me the people you see in Zion right now. They are the chosen army. You see, Many of you don't understand what you've been going through. See, as I sit here right now, I want to let you know, I don't have the time, but I don't tell you it's going to be a long time. Because my mom's death, God didn't take it for granted. And for me to pay this price, it was not a joke. It was not a game. It was a reality. I felt death. Not to physically go do that. So God wasn't playing. I stay some nights and I'm crying. Why? All through the night. Because I'm seeing the sister here completely overtaken by demonic oppression. And it's been going on for a long time. My mind is seeing this person here totally in bondage. My mind is seeing this. My heart is seeing this. And I'm looking at America. I'm looking at the church. People are sitting in the pews. They've been in church for so long. And they are still dealing with strongholds. A lot of people are dealing with impossibilities that makes them question the reality of God. The church has not really the same power. When God looked at those dry bones, you know what God is saying? It's not by power, it's not by might. Religion cannot change that situation. It will take the power of God to turn dry bones to an army. The Lord reminded me, you can go knock on doors, it's okay. You can go preach, it's okay. Say, but materialism, money, and the demonic influence of perversion has hardened the heart of America. You can do all you want. Nobody wants to hear the gospel. And even those in church, all they want to do is play church. God says, it will take my power to turn them around. It will take heaven to invade for people to know it's a real God. You've waited that long. Why not finish the process? I said, God, I'll do anything for you to change people's lives. So I want to say to you, I'm not putting a time to it. I'm not saying anything. But I want you to be ready. These pews you see will not contain the people that will be coming here soon. We're not going to be in this church very long. It's not going to happen by strategic planning. Church strategic planning. It's going to happen by the power of God. You see, you students and every one of you, a lot of them have been faithful here. God is really pleased with you. Not many people can sit in a church like this with empty pews. Come Sunday out, Sunday in. I'm just wondering what you're doing here. You're blessed. You will see people, you will not know what to do. Get ready because you will be enlisted to take care of a lot. Because people are going to flock here from everywhere. You will see the power of God. You will no more be in the valley. Because when the power of God comes, everything in the valley brings you to the mountain. Your obstacles will become a testimony. Every one of you in this place, you were born for a reason. You're not just thrown into this place. God is not a waster. God is a strategic planner. God sent you into this world to make a difference. But that difference can be compromised by so many people that don't want to go through the valley or the wilderness. But because you've been chosen, God has constrained you. You've been chosen to go through so many processes. My sisters, my brothers, What is about to happen to you, you will no more live like you're living for this world. Your purpose is about to be activated. You cannot just live anyhow, because the reason for which you are born is about to be highlighted. The reason why great men and great women in the Bible served God, you're about to see it. The reason why kings and presidents and leaders of nations come to men of God and say, "Help me," you're about to see it. Actually, one of the, to me, during this time I was waiting and this, I had two phone calls. I've not paid serious attention to them yet because I don't want to compromise. And these phone calls are people, one of them called and said they are bringing some presidents and some leaders to North Carolina. And they are trying to create a trade union between Africa and African Americans and Nigerians, or whatever here, that they're calling us back. Some of the staff people knew about it. It was laid down. Well, from nowhere, they just called back. I didn't follow up with it up till now. Another person called. Africa is something Trump called Prosper Africa, and they call it Believe in Africa. So it's a new venture between African leaders and business people coming together with American leaders and business people at the highest level to develop a plan to make Africa prosper. In the middle of their discussion, one of the lady called me and said they want us to oversee the process spiritually. I still have not put pressure on that direction. And God was saying, just wait. You've not seen anything yet. The Lord wants me to say to you this morning, you're more than who you're looking at on the pew. You are an army. You have suffered. You paid the price. You'd have given up many times, but you stayed the course. The fact that you're here in the midst of all that you've gone through, you are a chosen generation. You are a peculiar people. And destiny is about to lift you up. Every demon, every circumstance that has humiliated you, they will promote you. I'm not teasing you. I'm not trying to tickle you. This is not a game. This is reality. This is Christianity. I'm not seeing dry bones. I'm not seeing your limitations. I am seeing great people. Because God is about to make it happen. You see this worship team here? They passed a big test. Many times they stand there and worship under empty pews. It was a test. A lot of people I know, they want to worship only when there's a big crowd. They want to give their best when there's a big crowd. I want you to get ready. You are about to lead thousands of people in worship. I saw the Lord. And I want to encourage you. Get ready. Every one of you that have been faithful, God has not forgotten you. Everything you've been doing personally and here, God has never forgotten you. You that have paid the price for years praying, get ready. God is a rewarder. And your reward has come. You just see it very soon. Today is Communion Sunday. As we take this communion this morning, I want you to establish that communion on the basis of destiny. I want you, as you take this communion this morning, I want you to prophesy to yourself. Don't prophesy to what you look like from your natural eyes and your natural instincts. Speak to yourself the word of the Lord this morning, that you are a mighty woman of God. You are a mighty man of God. You have destiny. God is rearranging people's lives right now to prepare them for what is about to happen. If your life is being rearranged, don't fight it. God is positioning you for something you were born to see. All of you that have been questioning and wondering, is this church, is this God? You're right. What we have been experiencing is a valley church. It's a wilderness church. It's a cave church where nothing has really manifested but a training. Now, the crooked paths, the rough places, God is about to cause the glory of God to rise in the valley. And our ashes will be turned to beauty. And our garments will no more be mourning garments, the garments of praise. We have a clear purpose, a clear mission, a clear calling. So prophesy to yourself as you take this. Agree with the word of the Lord. Who you are, who God has called you to be, by the word of the Lord, not what you see. Amen? Come and take this covenant. Come and renew. Just prophesy. Speak to yourself. Don't limit yourself by your eyes and your five senses. Call who God says you are. Call yourself. You've been made in the righteousness of God. You've been called into the wealth of the kingdom of God. You've been called into the place of dominion and authority. You've been called a worshiper. You've been called the sons and daughters of the Most High. You've been called with favor upon your life. You've been called. You've been chosen. Call the word of God upon you. Don't go by what you see. Prophesy to yourself. Speak, no matter what the dry bones look like. Jesus. And I speak to our worship team. The glory of the Lord is going to flow like waters when we worship the Lord. Like rivers. Take a moment, you and the Lord. Do that. Speak the word of the Lord. Speak to the bones. Speak to this. Everything. Change into an army. You know what I'm saying. Call forth your destiny. You are in covenant with God. And this is that blood. This is the token of that covenant. God will never fail you. But stand in agreement with that calling, with that promise. Speak the word only. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. Sombari kasante mankandoro bosh, besambrando sikren demanda bosh, lebra sente makariandoro boshete mandes, lukas kebrando skuburengi yanda mangos, lograba sete makariando sokoriandi babake bosh, libroko sete andala makunde bas, oliba sikurinda mande bosh, Father. I stand upon the power of your word. I call every destiny sitting in this place and those that are not here today. I call your destinies, in alignment with this season, in alignment with heaven, in alignment with this timing. I call forth everyone that feels like it's a Mephibosheth. I call you to the throne room of the Lord. Let every mindset that holds you captive be broken in this season by the power of the destiny that is in the word of the Lord. Arise, Mephibosheth. Arise, David. Arise, Josephs. Arise, the Marians. Arise, arise, the Esthers. Arise, the Deborahs. Arise, 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 for your time has come. Men and women of destiny, your hour has come, and your destiny will speak to this generation. You are mighty men and women of God, children of the Most High God, unstoppable because of this covenant over your destiny. Favor will promote you in this season. Favor will close even evil doors. Favor will open heaven upon you. Father, rearrange every situation and let every son and daughter of destiny not miss this hour, not miss this season. For their time has come and your mercy has prevailed. Forgiveness has come. Arise. Your light will shine again. Your voice will be heard. Your limitations will become your ladder to climb great heights in this season. As you take this covenant, let every counsel of heaven begin to take effect in this season in your life. Let the very purpose for which you were born be activated. And let your life be completely aligned to the visions of heaven. And let the favor of God cancel every negative assignment upon your life. And let the blood of Jesus realign you to the favor of heaven and to the provisions of destiny. You are called to rule and to reign in this season. And you will reign. You have suffered with him. You will reign with him. Father, we receive your word and we receive your promise. Mountains be made low. The walls of Jericho be falling. The things that have held your people, held us in the valley, your glory is coming true. You turn our valleys to mountain grounds and you turn our mountains to plain grounds. Because your favor and your mercy has come to Zion. I bless you this day. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Receive it. Something is rising with what God is doing. And God says, suddenly, the next level will come. This season, this week we are in, is a Pentecost week. The week the church was born and the foundation was laid and the church was what the church used to be. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. This is the very 2,000 years ago when the church was born. So I want you, as you pray this week, say, God, do it again. God, remember your covenant. Remember your church. Remember us in this season. Restore us. And as part of this season, this time of waiting, seeking the Lord, I feel led to call us in 3 days. Friday is breakthrough night. 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Consecrate a fast. You can eat from 6 p.m. But just consecrate a fast of asking God, visit me. God, remember me. God, I've heard your promises in this season. God, remember me. Touch me one more time. Do something miraculous. Let this season I'm hearing about, let me begin to experience a new level of that reality. So that's partly why we're going to consecrate ourselves, sanctify ourselves, set ourselves apart this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And you can eat after 6. And it's just spending time in worship. We'll continue our daily time of worship for these 3 days. Thank you. We'll do that. So I want to invite you, if you're available, we're going to spend time in worship. The breakthrough night to Sunday, and we'll come back here. And we'll continue to see where God is taking us in this season. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your eyes see the destinies that are here. You see what you have called them to be, what you've created them to be. And Father, you are calling them to come up higher. So I thank you as we surrender to you, Holy Spirit. Take over, have your way, and surprise us. Surprise us. Let heaven surprise us in our daily life, in our prayer closets, in our weekly meetings, in our wherever, our job, whatever. Father, we just surrender to heaven. We say, have your way. It's your season. Have it all. And let Jesus be revealed and glorified in our lives in this time. Bless us for your name's sake. In Jesus' name.